Dr. Malia Ireland's presentation, Cryptosporidium Outbreak on an Agritourism Farm in Minnesota, 2016. Hand washing is not enough.
Thank you, Elizabeth. All right. All right, so agritourism is becoming increasingly popular across the country as a source of additional income for farmers. However, these venues provide fantastic opportunities for zoonotic disease transmission. We witnessed an example of this in Minnesota last summer. We first learned of illnesses on May 24th when routine surveillance interviews by MDH staff revealed that two Cryptosporidium cases had visited the same agritourism farm on elementary school field trips prior to their illnesses. The cases were a student and a teacher who visited with different schools on different days. We started an investigation based on this information. So, our first step was to check out Nelson Farm online. We learned it was previously a working farm, but now only does agritourism, and they offer field trips to elementary school classes in the spring, and in the fall they are open to the public as well. The day we learned of the two initial cases, an MDH epidemiologist contacted the farm to obtain a list of animals present and schools that had visited. We requested that their single calf be removed from display as a precautionary move while the investigation progressed. On May 25th, we began contacting teachers and quickly learned of three more ill teachers. We also started interviewing parents of students who had visited the farm, and we asked about their illness history and risk factors, such as which animals were visited and if hand washing was done. And we learned that most parents did not know many of these details. And we learned from our preliminary calls to teachers that school groups did not have a set order of activities on the farm. Each school's visit was tailored to the time they had available and the number of other schools present. So to learn those details, we created a separate interview form just for the teachers to ask them about their schedule, which animals they visited, when they washed hands, and what the weather was like that day. For this investigation, we defined a case as a person who visited Nelson Farm between May 9th and May 25th and who experienced fever and diarrhea, or diarrhea lasting three or more days, or had a laboratory-confirmed Cryptosporidium infection. On May 26th, two veterinary epidemiologists visited Nelson Farm to evaluate the facility and perform sampling. We learned that most of the animals do not live on site permanently, but are borrowed from friends and neighbors for the May season. Most tours start in the classroom, so they learn a little bit about agriculture, and then they have a typical pattern thereafter, but the schedule and order can change as needed. One of the common activities is to visit the hen house, where students get to hold a chick, and then they head into the coop to collect an egg. And then the other common animal area is behind the barn, and that has primarily ruminants. This photo shows the sheep pen, and after the sheep, the students get to visit turkeys, goats, pigs, a calf, and a miniature horse. So for many of the animal visits, the farm uses a technique they call toes on the hose to both control the students and reduce their contact with the animal environment. The students stand in a line with their toes touching the garden hoses, and then a staff member or a teacher holds the animal and walks down the line so that the students can pet it. And with this method, the students have less contact with the animals, but the teachers and chaperones have quite a lot. Toes on the hose is used for almost all the animals except for Charlie Brown, the calf. He's always a Jersey calf. So instead, the students gather around one of his two pens. When the weather is rainy, Charlie's visited at his inside pen, which is on the left, and students stand directly next to the railings, which are perfect for grabbing onto to see over. When Charlie is housed outside on the right, the children generally stand farther away and have less contact with those railings. So after the parade of animals, some classes head to a playground or get a hayride, and other classes go to the hand washing station. Hand washing happens at a modified large bathtub that serves as a multi-station sink. It has four faucets, two on each side, with warm water, soap dispensers at each faucet, and numerous paper towel dispensers. Additionally, hand sanitizer pumps were present at the sinks and throughout the farm. Overall, it appeared pretty clean on the farm. So this is a list of the animals that were present for the 2016 season and the samples we collected. We took fecal samples from almost all the species and environmental swabs from the duckling and gosling tubs, the chicken coop, and both the outside and inside calf pens. To test people, we sent stool kits to 27 individuals from 15 different schools. Samples were tested for shigatoxin-producing E. coli, Campylobacter, Salmonella, Yersinia, and Cryptosporidium. We also received routine surveillance samples from providers for testing. The animal fecal samples we collected were tested from the same pathogens, and the environmental samples were tested for bacterial pathogens only. So 24 different schools visited Nelson Farm from May 9th to May 25th, and the lists of students, teachers, and chaperones totaled 2,256 visitors, and we were able to interview 555 of those for illness histories and exposure information. Additionally, we interviewed 19 teachers with our teacher-specific exposure form, and we were able to associate that with 237 visitor illness histories using class lists. 14 of our 27 stool kits were returned to the public health laboratory, and of those, 8 tested positive for Cryptosporidium parvum subtype 2AA15G2R1. In addition, 12 positive cases were identified through routine surveillance for a total of 20 lab-confirmed cases. In interviews, 129 people reported illness within 2 weeks of their visit, but 57 were excluded from further analysis because they didn't meet the case definition. So that gave us a grand total of 72 cases. Of those, 53% were female, 74% were students, and 26% were adults. Our cases had symptoms that were fairly typical of Cryptosporidium infections. 99% reported diarrhea for a median of 6 days. 92% reported cramps. 42% reported fever. 1/3 of the cases visited a healthcare provider for their illness, and there were no hospitalizations or deaths. This is the EpiCurve. Each blue box is an individual case, and those that are lab confirmed are also marked with a white circle. The first day classes toured is denoted with the green arrow on May 9th, and the last day that tours happened is marked with the red arrow, and cases taper off after that point. In the univariate analysis, cases were 5.5 times more likely to be adults than students, and also more likely to report seeing mud at the farm or getting mud on their clothes. Interestingly, when we controlled for adult versus student, we found that cases were more likely to have used hand sanitizer but not washed their hands. That was just barely significant. Many of the adults reported this behavior, whereas the students had to wash their hands. Of course, sanitizer is not effective against crypto. So we also discovered that cases were more likely to report feeding the animals, which is not an activity offered by the farm, and so we believe this reflects the inaccurate information that elementary age kids give to their parents. So because of that difference, a second univariate analysis was run using the data from that subset of illness histories matched with teacher classroom activity data, and we found that cases were 4.6 times more likely to have not washed their hands right after visiting the ruminants. Additionally, cases were more likely to have visited during rainy weather or visited the calf at his inside pen. As you might expect, we got numerous positive results from our fecal samples. The highlights were finding the Cryptosporidium parvum subtype in Charlie Brown, the calf. We also found many other things. So here's Charlie. He's the most likely culprit based on our case control study analysis and finding the outbreak strain in his sample. He was 8 to 9 days old when the tour started, a typical age for shedding Cryptosporidium. He was also reported to have normal scours, which is known as diarrhea, during the 4 days before visitors. So we concluded that the timing of hand washing is crucial. This farm was following some of the recommended guidelines for animal contact venues, and their hand washing facilities were good, the ones they did have. The cases were more likely to have done some other activity between visiting the ruminants and washing their hands. Additionally, adults may have relied on sanitizer without washing their hands. And lastly, this farm did have a nice method for limiting contact, but it may have increased the risk for adults. So we recommended to the farm that he cancel the rest of his spring season, which he did, and we recommended that he remove ill animals from the farm, reduce environmental contact by not allowing students in the chicken coop, and that all groups visit the hand-washing station right after animal visits, and that he build a second hand-washing station back where the calf was to make that easier. So in summary, this was an outbreak of Cryptosporidius on an agritourism farm. Demonstrates that zoonotic disease transmission can occur at facilities with limited number of animals and precautions to limit contact. And it lastly demonstrates that hand washing alone is not enough. The timing matters, and hand washing should occur after each animal contact. So I have to thank all of the other people in the ZDU and especially all the MPH students who did the massive number of interviews for us, and that's the Zoo Crew, Team Diarrhea, and the Vector Squad. So thank you guys very much.